We are live, Joe.
Good evening. Welcome and thank you for participating in this, the Planning Commission meeting of March 2nd. This meeting will also include a joint session with the State Department of Ecology. Let's see, since we have a, counting quickly here, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, we have a quorum. So we will begin our meeting. Important request before we get started, out of respect for people speaking and listening, please mute all your microphones when you're not the person that is actively speaking. Also, please refrain from conducting conversations with other members so that the recording is able to catch what the person that is speaking is saying. And if you're going to be speaking tonight, please state your name and your area of residence for the record. And if you want additional information in that, you can leave your, you can provide your email contact and any questions or requests that you may have. On the testimony for tonight, there will be a 3-minute timeline. For internet users that are online, you can use the raise hand feature to signal that you'd like to participate. For call-in users, you would dial *9 on your keypad to signal you'd like to comment. Call-in participants may need to dial *6 to unmute their phones. And that. And I covered 3 minutes. Okay, so let's begin tonight's meeting with introductions from South Kitsap.
Good evening, my name is Stacy Smith. I am a South Kitsap Planning Commissioner. I've had the privilege of living in Sunny Slope, Manchester, and currently residing in the Waterman area.
Okay. Good evening, I'm—
Hi, my name is Kim Allen.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm Carrie Kaltenborn Corey, also South Kitsap from the Manchester area.
And I'm Kim Allen. I'm also South Kitsap, and I live in Olalla.
Okay, Central Kitsap. Commissioner Beam, if you'd unmute. There we go.
My name is Alan Beam. I'm from Central Kitsap. I live in Anatai Beach.
Okay.
Mike Elias in Central Kitsap.
And North Kitsap.
Amy Mall, North Kitsap.
Thank you.
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
And Joe Phillips, North Kitsap. Okay. We've gone over the protocol and that, I guess I got that out of order, but we are now at adoption of agenda. Do I hear any motions to adopt the agenda?
I move to adopt the agenda.
Okay, we have a motion. Kim Allen?
Second.
Second, and we have a second. All those in favor of adopting the agenda, please say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous. The agenda is adopted. All right, next item on the published agenda was the adoption of minutes, but they are not ready for approval, so we will bypass that. And now is the time for general public comments. Now, this is when we're allowing the public to make comments that aren't part of what the topic is later in the agenda. If you have something that you'd like to say to the commission, now would be the time. Do we have anybody that would like to speak?
We do have a raised hand from Mr. Palmer. So just one moment.
Mr. Palmer.
You should be able to unmute, Mr. Palmer.
Just a procedure question relative to your Shoreline Master Program update. It's supposed to be a joint meeting, but I don't see anybody on my screen from Department of Ecology. Is there somebody going to show up?
Yes. Maria Sanderko is here.
Okay.
Any other comment? No? Okay.
We have one more, actually. Oh, one Mr. more. Brown.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown, you should be able to unmute yourself at this point.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, fine. For the last approximately 6 months, I've been coming before the Planning Commission talking about housing or the lack thereof. Everything you do as Planning Commissioners now is extremely important that you do not put any more weight on the housing industry. Adding more regulations to the top of what is already an awesome task to get anything approved is counterproductive. In the last year, lumber has gone off almost 200%. The market is out of control. There's not enough inventory and there's not enough land being platted. That affects you as well as affects the rest of us. I've been doing this for longer than most planning department people have been alive. I've been doing this for over 50 years now, all since I've lived in South Kitsap. So what is going on is a lack of land supply to build housing. So this year, the increase in the housing costs, just straight from a housing perspective, is going to be 20%. 17% in a raise because of lack of housing, another 3% because of new energy code, which is approximately $10,000 to $30,000. So if you wanted to build a house today and it was over 5,000 square feet, in order to build it today rather than in January, it will cost you additional $30,000. Now, this isn't chicken feed for people who work on everyday jobs. So I want you to be careful every time the staff or anyone else asks you to put on more regulations to the people who have to pay the price. You know that it's going to affect you also. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Brown. Do we have any other comments?
I'm not sure. Mr. Brown, did you have another comment? Or just need to lower a hand. All right, I'm not hearing anything, so I'm gonna go ahead and lower your hand for you and we will be good.
Okay. All right, that will close the general public comment. And the next step item on the agenda is the status update for the buildable lands program. Liz Williams.
Good evening. Thank you, commissioners. So for the record, my name is Liz Williams, planning supervisor with the Department of Community Development. I just got a warning that my internet connection is not great. Are you hearing me okay?
A little bit delayed.
Okay,
fuzzy.
All right. Thank you for nodding. Okay, it looks like there might be a delay. I apologize for that. So tonight, the DCD team is here to provide a quick status update on the buildable lands program and ongoing coordination with local cities. To complete the buildable lands report, which is due June 30th of 2021. So the county and the cities continue to work on steps 0 through 3 of the residential land capacity analysis to evaluate future land supply, which we reviewed with the Planning Commission at your briefing on February 16th. What I would describe as a sprint to keep us.
I think we lost Liz.
She might try to reconnect. It might also help to turn your camera off. Sometimes that uses less, but it looks like maybe we need to wait for her to reconnect.
Planning Commissioners, just for the sake of the time, as well as recognizing we do have attendees that may be here for the Shoreline Master Program public hearing, I'm happy to step in for Liz and provide kind of status update on communications with the city jurisdictions as we march towards the June 30th deadline. Liz, I noticed you took off your mute. Are you back with us? Okay.
I am back with you. Are you hearing me okay?
Okay.
Yeah, that's better. That's much better.
I'm still getting a message that it's unstable, and I really apologize for this interruption, folks. But I will continue.
Liz, I'm happy to step in. You're kind of slow and delayed in response, and just a matter of just keeping with time.
Yeah,
I think that would be a good idea.
Okay.
Go for it, Angie. I apologize.
No, no worries. These things happen. Angie Silva, for the record, Assistant Director with the Department of Community Development. So leaving off, jumping where Liz left off on coordination with the various cities within the community. Again, the Growth Management Act requires the county as well as the cities within in certain jurisdictions to conduct a billable lands program. So the look back development trends. So we're looking at a 2013 to 2019 permit development trend horizon, as well as the look forward, which is the land supply, as well as growth trends based upon what is outlined in our countywide planning policies for residential and employment growth to 2036. This report out, which is due June 30th of this year, is not a document that we adopt. It really is an evaluation report that helps inform the upcoming major comprehensive plan update, which is due in the year 2024, just as a timeline piece. As Liz mentioned at our last briefing with the Planning Commission, we did go over preliminary guidance that is currently under discussion with the various cities in the county. That was for steps 0 through 3. So the initial steps in incorporating and how to address infrastructure gaps as required by the new statutory changes that occurred in 2018. As well as what are next steps moving forward. If the Planning Commission recalls, we went over in previous briefings that our land capacity analysis or land supply has currently a nine-step program going from step 1 to gross acres all the way down to net developable acres in a series of reduction factors. We are still sticking so far with that nine-step approach, but modifications to the assumptions as well as how we describe those assumptions are being discussed. So right now, the jurisdictions are testing step 0 through 3. We're back and forth feedback on how that applies to the practical reality of it. The reason why we're focusing on these initial steps includes kind of the GIS, more of the heavy lifting data work versus when we get to steps 4 through 6, that reduction for future roadways, that reduction for future public facilities or market factor, which we're working with a sub-consultant on to help guide us further than what we have currently today, is still under development. Some of the items that have been discussed on one-on-one communication since that was released in early February, not only to the cities, but also available on the project website, is kind of back and forth on how to address that much broader infrastructure gaps based upon existing CAPA facilities plans for the 4 topic areas: stormwater, roads, water, as well as sewer, and how that is or is not addressed in the existing land capacity framework. I'm stuttering over my words, as well as assumptions. So there's some back and forth. We just met with the city of Bremerton as well as the city of Port Orchard this week alone to go over that guidance. We sat down with public works staff with the city of Bremerton and talked back and forth on how we are looking at the infrastructure gaps from an unincorporated perspective versus what is articulated and covered in other reduction factors already included and have been included as part of the land supply calculations. We've also discussed high level of kind of the approach we are waiting on our sub-consultant Heartland to help us guide us for market factor research. So we don't have anything available for right now, but that is in the queue moving forward. As well as we will be circle back with the cities verifying again their permit trends and how that relates to growth trends. So that's one of the informational pieces as part of the Bilba Lands program and part of what needs to be included in a draft and final report out. That includes an evaluation of not only our urban rural growth split per our countywide planning policies, but also the growth trends that occurred from 2013 to 2019. We'll be circling back with the cities to verify that information before any release of that. So it'll be good to have feedback from them. With that, I'm going to take a break. I probably rattled off far too much information, and I'm happy to answer any questions the Planning Commission may have. But we do anticipate the month of March that we will complete at least the preliminary full round of residential LCA, land capacity analysis, with the start of employment land capacity analysis in the month of April with the city jurisdictions. And Liz will probably text me and say I'm completely wrong on many things. She's far smarter than I.
She did good if you can't hear and can hear me.
Thanks, Liz.
Commissioner Eliason.
I think Angie does a fabulous job in the briefing. So if there was any incorrect information, it certainly went past my head. As I understand it, there is a sub... is there a primary consultant and then a secondary that's completing the market factor?
That is correct, Commissioner Eliason. Our primary contractor is Burke Consultant, mm-hmm. consulting firm, maybe Burke. But they have contracted with Heartland to assist us with the market factor analysis. So just for some historical context, previous Bilba Lands reports utilized a market factor of 5% for vacant, 15% for underutilized. If this body remembers what the new statutory requirements not only require us to look at the vacant bucket, but the underutilized bucket. Now we have a third bucket we have to define and figure out and how we're going to treat forward. So what we've tasked Heartland is to look at that information based upon Kitsap market realities, the product types that we are asking per the zones and how various information sources from real estate data to many other elements and how that can help guide jurisdictions on what is the appropriate market factor for multifamily housing, single family housing, and then ultimately we'll get to that as part of the employment element of this.
Great. Thank you. Very much looking forward to that report and looking at their methodology.
We are too. Again, we have steps 0 through 3 preliminary guidance. It is subject to change. Jurisdictions are testing it, feeling it out, and how to navigate that GIS piece before we get to steps 4 through 9, which really is a spreadsheet exercise, because then we go from parcel data down to collection of per zone information. So for urban low, after you do all the GIS steps, which include the critical area reductions using a CAO mosaic and a GIS feature, now you start whittling down those reductions via a numerical and mathematical method. So.
Okay. Commissioner Murphy, you had your hand up first.
Yeah, just in the interest of the recording as a public document herein, Angie, do you have the screen share or the slide deck ability? I know Liz typically is using a slide deck when she's referring to that and did in a previous meeting. If nothing else, if there are any edits to the critical path timeline type slide based on last discussions versus what you shared today. And then if you're able to pull that up, the second half of my question would just be, for the public record, a reminder as to the juxtaposition and interaction that you guys have with cities during this process, knowing that growth management does have to do with where do we urbanize, where do we get denser. Can you speak for 45 seconds on that relationship in this project process?
Well, holy smokes, Commissioner Murphy, I'm going to try to dissect your question to me in kind of three different parts. So in terms of the overall schedule, no, the schedule has not changed since our last briefing. Second part of your question is where this information is housed and available for the overall public. So hopefully you can see a website available on the screen for the Planning Commission as well as members in the audience. Okay, so to get to this page is kitsapcounty.gov. You want to go to the Department of Community Development. So I'm just going to walk folks quickly through that. And I too have slow bandwidth in my office. So this is the main page for the Department of Community Development. Again, kitsapgov.com. Quick way to get there is scroll down to the bottom, county resources, county departments and offices. Click that, Department of Community Development. And then quick way is to go straight to the community plannings tab on the top of the department website, Bilba Lands Report. Is my screen share keeping up with everything?
No, you're okay. Doing perfect, thank you.
All right, so again, overall program, what this is required under the RCW is WAC. On the right-hand side, again, our previous Bilba Lands reports, Department of Commerce resources, including not only their updated guidelines for this effort and helping guiding certain Bilba Lands jurisdictions, our countywide planning policies, our comprehensive plans, as well as the direct link to growth management, the requirement of this, as well as the associated administrative rules developed by the Department of Commerce. If you scroll down all the way back to the bottom, so you'll see some Planning Commission briefing materials. This is also available on the Kitsap County Planning Commission website as well. But the presentation that was on the 16th of last month is included here as well as the executive materials. So that is not changing. As you'll note, we had a follow-up briefing status update with the Board of County Commissioners. Looks almost identical to what you had here with different commissioner letterhead. So that is available for review by the public. Please reach out to Liz or myself if you have any questions or would like to set up virtual meeting consultations if you have any questions where we are at this moment in time. In addition to, as part of that executive summary that was provided to the Planning Commission at our last briefing, included those steps 0 through 3 that I mentioned and what the jurisdictions are working through. And we've had 2 one-on-one meetings with them. We have another one scheduled with City of Bainbridge Island and their Public Works Department in particular to go over kind of the infrastructure gaps and kind of focusing right now conversations and getting everybody to chug along and move along on these 3 steps here with the understanding we'll be rolling out preliminary guidance very, very soon on steps 4 through 9 on the residential piece with employment in the month of April. Questions, concerns?
Just did a beautiful job dissecting my multi-layered question. The only maybe last piece or third part was talk to us for a second about the interaction you have. You mentioned Bainbridge Island, but with other city jurisdictions related to the fact this is a countywide exercise and concept in and outside your own boundaries.
Related to that, I think one of the key pieces here, we have a deadline of June 30th for our final report out. This is tied to the statutory requirement as well as our grant from the Department of Commerce that helps assist and pays for Burke's contract to help in this effort. So including Kitsap County with our reductions in our long-range planning unit, our permit submittals, which we can go in later after the public hearing to discuss if there's any questions related to that. We are running at a sprinting pace to keep up with the schedule and keep to the overall timeline. This is consistent with the various cities. They too have shoreline master program updates going on as the county. They are participating as part of the Bilba Lands program update along with us. They too have record residential submittals far exceeding years prior. In addition to, we also, what plays a role in what the Planning Commission does is at the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council, they are updating their countywide planning policies to reflect Puget Sound Regional Coordinating Council, or PSRC's, Vision 2050 policies, or any updates to GMA. So they're updating the policy sections right now, which too, oh, by the way, has a June deadline for transmittal to Kitsap County for a SEPA determination, as well as final ordinance action by the Board of County Commissioners. So they are focusing on that effort, as well as part of Vision 2050, included new population and growth targets that will need to be reconciled to 2044. And that will be a basis of growth forecasts for all of our major comprehensive plan updates due in 2024. I threw out a lot of dates. So again, I'm happy to repeat anything, as I know it can get very convoluted and confusing, as it confuses me sometimes.
Well, I would just say, Angie, that was a beautiful job of wading through it and being maybe put on the spot for filling in for Liz, and thank you for that. I also would argue that what you just did with a screen share and showing people how to get certain places during a recorded meeting might be a fabulous thing to continue to do as we think about, we're hearing public feedback about them not understanding necessarily how to be involved. I think what you just showed me in the middle of a recorded meeting could go a long way to getting the public more involved in this discussion. So thank you.
No, fair enough, Commissioner Murphy. And again, I try to improve my Vanna White skills as much as possible, sir.
Commissioner Beam, you had a question.
Yes, sir. When this is all said and done, do we have one buildable lands report, or do we have five buildable lands reports?
It will be, Commissioner Beam, that will be a consolidated one buildable lands report consistent to prior report outs, but there will be sections dedicated to unincorporated Kitsap County in the various cities, as well as sections consolidating, again, for that urban rural split. We have to look at county urban areas as well as city jurisdictions, which are defined as urban areas by GMA, sir.
So for market factor, will you get everybody to agree on what they are, or will each individual jurisdiction have a variation on market factor?
This, as market factor, is an assumption, not a framework or methodology requirement. So per our current countywide planning policies, the county and its cities need to have a consistent framework. So land supply framework, or the steps that you see before the screen, sir. Where their jurisdictions can deviate is on the assumptions underneath those steps. So for example, in our last Boba Lands report, there were certain steps that certain cities did deviate from the county's analysis. What we hope to provide in the market factor is kind of a recommendation from this sub-consultant Harland. However, there will be some discretion for each jurisdiction on whether toggle up, toggle down, and they will have to validate as well as defend that rationale as part of the Bilba Lands report out, including noted in the draft, which our target is May of this year, and a final draft by our June 30th deadline.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? No? Well, appreciate your presentation, Angie and Liz. And with that, we will move to the next agenda item. This will be the joint public hearing with the Washington Department State of Ecology for the Shoreline Master Program Draft Amendment. Maria Sanderko is attending here from the State Department of Ecology, and Kirby Mesimbulu-Jovic is our planning and environmental program planner for the county. With that, I believe, I'm not sure who wants to go first here.
Kirby.
Yes, I can go first.
Thank you.
I'm going to share screen as well.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. And for the record, my name is Kirby Mesimbulu-Jovic, planner with the Department of Community Development. And tonight we also have Maria Sanderkov, shoreline planner with the Department of Ecology. We will together will provide a brief introduction and overview of the Shoreline Master Program periodic review process and the public hearing scheduled tonight. Kitsap County is required under the Shoreline Management Act to conduct a periodic review of its Shoreline Master Program once every 8 years. Our Shoreline Master Program includes policies and regulations that essentially guide the development of Kitsap County's shoreline. The last comprehensive update of our Shoreline Master Program was completed in 2014 after a 5-year process. This is the first periodic review of our Shoreline Master Program since that last comprehensive update. And this periodic review is due on June 30th of 2021. This periodic review process impacts all unincorporated areas of Kitsap County within the shoreline jurisdiction. There are three main purposes for conducting the Shoreline Master Program periodic review. First and foremost, it is completed to ensure consistency with state laws and guidelines in effect at this time. Secondly, it is conducted to ensure consistency with internal county comprehensive plans and development regulations. And we are also conducting this periodic review to provide clarifications to improve the predictability and usability for applicants as well as reviewers. The key takeaway here is that this periodic review process is different and a light refresh to our Shoreline Master Program as compared to the comprehensive update completed in 2014. It does not include review of ecological functions of our shoreline baseline conditions. It will also not include any changes to the shoreline jurisdiction or environmental designations or shoreline maps. The periodic review process is essentially 9 months long, started in October 2020 and will end at the end of June of 2021. We are currently in phase three, the review and analysis phase, with the main task being the joint Kitsap County Planning Commission and State Department of Ecology public hearing and comment period. At the same time, we are also conducting the State Environmental Policy Act or SEPA review process. The last phase of this process is the adoption, where we'll bring the proposed amendments to the Board of County Commissioners, which includes another public hearing and comment period before legal action is taken. A little bit more about this public comment period. It is 30 days long and started on February 2nd to March 3rd. This joint public hearing and comment period, again, lasted 30 days, and there are several events that took place during this time, including 2 study sessions with the Planning Commission, a monthly project update and virtual open house refresh, and tonight's public hearing, joint public hearing. The public comment period will end and will close tomorrow, March 3rd at 5 p.m. In addition to this public comment period, we are also conducting the SEPA review and appeal period. The SEPA review process is essentially required by the state for local governments to consider any environmental impacts to proposals that they are proposing before taking action. A determination of non-significance was released by Kitsap County SEPA coordinator on February 18th, and the lead agency will not take action on this proposal for 14 days. The periodic review or the SEPA review period will close on Thursday, March 4th at 5 p.m. Again, as part of this public comment period, we released 4 titles to the Kitsap County Code for public review. Those include the Shoreline Master Program, Title 22, and Appendix F, which is a list of all shoreline water bodies. We also released Title 19, Critical Areas Ordinance, specifically Chapter 19.200 for wetlands. We also released Title 15, Flood Hazard Areas. And we also released Title 21, Land Use and Development Procedures, specifically Chapter 2104 for project permit application procedures. Public comments are accepted via email. You can email them to review.smp@co.kitsap.wa.us. You can mail hard copies, written comments to 614 Division Street, MS 36, Port Orchard, Washington, 98366. You can also submit your comments via the online open house. And tonight we'll be hearing public testimony during this joint public hearing. At this time, I want to turn it over to Maria Sanderko to provide a brief introduction from Department of Ecology.
Hi, I'm Maria Sanderko. I am a shoreline planner with the State Department of Ecology. And I'm here tonight because the Kitsap Shoreline Master Program is a partnership between the state and the county. So as Kirby mentioned, this public hearing and this comment period are being held jointly between the state and the county. And so that means the county will share any public comments received with Ecology. The county is also going to document how you're going to respond to the comments and share that with Ecology as well. And then ultimately, Ecology is required to review the amendment to the Shoreline Master Program for consistency with the Shoreline Management Act and our S&P guidelines. And there's sort of two time points when that's going to happen. So first, after the comment period closes and the responses to comments are made, the county will submit the draft amendment to Ecology for an initial determination. We'll review the amendment and provide a determination on whether it's consistent with the Shoreline Management Act and the S&P guidelines, or whether maybe some changes are necessary for consistency. We'll give that back to the county, who will then have time to review that and possibly make some changes if necessary, and then finally adopt the amendment and then submit it to Ecology one last time for our final review and approval. And if there's any questions about Ecology's review process or the process in general, please let me know.
Thank you, Maria. That's it from us, Chairman Phillips, turning it over to you for the public hearing portion of this agenda topic.
Thank you for that quick presentation. At this point, we will open the floor to the public for comments. Please remember you have a 3-minute time limit in that, and there you can always submit your written comments by close of business tomorrow. Do we have any attendance? Anyone who wishes to speak?
I do note I have a Mr. McCoy. Just one moment. All right, you're listed as Bill McCoy. You should be able to unmute now.
Hi there. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. I'm for the record, I'm William McCoy. I live in unincorporated Kitsap County in the Paulsbo area on Miller Bay. My comment, I did submit some very specific comments in email, but I wanted to follow that up with just quick, more general comments. First of all, I want to acknowledge and thank the Department of Community Development staff. Over the last 2.5 years, I've built a new development home on the waterfront from raw land to now occupying this home. And it seemed like a long time, but overall, I think DCD has been wonderful to work with and generally very reasonable. So please don't interpret my following comments as criticism, because generally speaking, I think as a client, I'm a happy client of DCD, even though it was, you know, it was not a voluntary choice. They've been one of the best parts of my team. And so I commend everyone involved. So my first comment is regarding the comment made at the beginning of the meeting about considering burden on property owners. One specific example in the proposed changes is a proposal that, or that the revised ordinance would require engineering according to Title 12 stormwater standards for a very simple trail in the shoreline buffer area. That buffer ranges from 85 feet to as much as 200 feet, depending on the property. That means any little trail just to access your own beach now has to require you to hire a civil engineer, which you may know is very difficult to do. I went through many civil engineer prospects before I found one who even willing to work on my project. So I think it's just, we need to really consider that a simple trail that's already limited in length, with, and it already has to be approved as part of the replanting plan. Now to pile on more civil engineering of a simple trail that could be 90 feet from the shoreline, 200 feet from the shoreline, it's just overkill. So I really, there's several other examples that are in my email about that. But the main thing I want to talk about is the changes to the view blockage ordinance that are proposed. That is was originally a totally separate ordinance, Ordinance 240-1984, 1984. For 30 years, it was went along all by itself, everything great. And then in 2014, it was folded into the then SMP, which created some ambiguity, potentially, around the definition of an accessory structure and whether that should be considered in determining the view blockage line for adjacent proposed developments. The previous ordinance was totally clear and made it very clear that if any building was greater than 150 square feet or 8 feet in height, it was considered for view blockage purposes. So if you had a big honking boathouse on your lot, then that blocked your neighbor's view. So when your neighbor came time to develop, that was considered as the thing to draw the line to. After the change to the Shoreline Master Program in 2014, they changed the interpretation and didn't consider boathouses and accessory structures in determining the view line. That was a change of legislative intent that I believe shouldn't have been done administratively by the staff. And I think you guys should revert to the original meaning of this thing and basically consider the view blockage based on whatever is a structure of a given size. In 2014, that size was changed to 200 square feet or 10 feet in height. I think that's was a reasonable increase. We could even go a little further. But to say that someone can have a three-story boathouse next door and their house 90 feet back and still make me push my house back, even though their boathouse is blocking their view and all and my view and other neighbors' view, it just doesn't make any logical sense. And again, it's not consistent with the original ordinance and has nothing to do with protection of the shoreline, which is already handled with the other, you know, the shoreline ecological buffer. So that's all I wanted to say I request the planning commissioners to consider that and to go back and look at that original ordinance if necessary and look at what your intent was at that time and be consistent with it, not change it. Thank you very much. And sorry to have exceeded my time.
No problem. Thank you. Do we have any other comment?
We do. I've got Mr. Palmer, I believe, is next. Just one second.
Mr. Palmer.
And you should be okay to unmute, Mr. Palmer.
Okay. First of all, I object to the limitation of 3 minutes when you have maybe two or three, possibly as many as only five people that would talk at this public hearing. Second of all, I object to a public hearing that takes place only online when there's lots of shoreline property owners who might otherwise be able to attend, but they're intimidated by doing so in an online format. Third, I question whether or not the county is obligated to a June 1st or June 30th deadline for amendments other than those that comply with, make their ordinance comply with state law. After you go beyond page 18, you're getting into a whole host of other amendments or allied amendments, so to speak, that could bear a lot more vetting than has been able to take place so far. And I don't believe that maybe Mrs. Sando, I'm sorry if I mispronounce your name, maybe you can clarify, but I think the only obligation is for those amendments that make it compliant with state law, which of course is both RCW and WAC type or requirements. And when it comes to singular or several issues that Kitsap Alliance of Property Owners is objecting to, we're objecting to the presentation of a staff report to the Planning Commission that does not include all attachments. And even if the Planning Commission got those attachments either for tonight's public hearing or prior work study sessions, the public hasn't seen them. And you can't even find them on the DCD website. For example, you can't find the consistency analysis that the watershed company put together. You can find it only by clicking on a link in the staff report. I know, I tried. I think that's a problem. I think it's a disservice to the public that might be able to comment even online in a Zoom meeting, but certainly it's a problem for those that are intimidated by that online process. I'm concerned too, on behalf of the property owners that are represented by CAPO, that if you were going to address issues, why didn't you address fees? I'm also a consultant, as many of you know. I have a client who's paid $22,000 in application fees. His or her application required a shoreline conditional use permit, a shoreline variance, and a shoreline substantial development permit. Those fees alone total over $10,000, almost $11,000. There's no way in God's green earth that the staff can spend 65 hours or 144 hours processing those three applications. If they're spending more than 18, and I'll even cut them some slack for 25 hours to write staff reports, they're wasting the applicant's money. But why should they have to pay that kind of duplicative fees for an application that's under review for one purpose? And oh, by the way, this particular example, there are no physical improvements proposed for the site, none.
All right, thank you for your comment, Mr. Palmer. I'll address the first two. 3 minutes is the standard of time allocated. We do occasionally allow that to be expanded when there isn't a lot of people that are wanting to speak. As far as being online, that is the times that we live in. I believe that you could also make the argument that it actually makes it more available to people and less intimidating. So it's kind of an interesting balance here of, you know, we're doing what we can to make people safe and still conduct business that people's government should be doing. So that's a toss up there. You bring up several other issues. I believe you had a question for the Department of Ecology, Maria Sanderko. Did you remember that question, Maria?
Yeah, so I think the question was, what exactly is the requirement for the periodic review by the deadline of June 30th? So the RCW requires that local governments review their shoreline master program and then, if necessary, make amendments to it by this deadline, June 30th. And then we have sort of three buckets that we call it buckets of review. The first bucket is, are there changes to state law that need to be incorporated? The second bucket is, are there changes to the local comprehensive plan or development regulations that need to be incorporated into the SMP? And the third bucket is there updated information or data about the shoreline environment that needs to be incorporated into the SMP? And so those are, you can generally break down the things that are in the amendment into those three categories. So, in terms of what is going to be actually required to be amended, if the county's identified that there's things necessary for any one of those buckets, then you know we'll want to see those amendments in there.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Do we have any other person that would like to speak?
We do have Mr. Brown, or we did.
We did.
He just lowered his hand, but let me go ahead and pull him over and see. Mr. Brown, did you want to speak?
Yeah, for the record, Richard A. Brown. There's 270,000 people in Kitsap County approximately. And you have three people testifying in a very important public hearing. And there's currently, by my estimations, 9,000 property owners who own property and their houses on the waterfront of Kitsap County. And you had one person testify. This is not a public process. And as far as the chairman's comment about, well, maybe they like it better, there used to be hundreds of people that came to public hearings and testified when their property was involved. You don't have that any longer because you don't have a process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. And do we have any other comments?
Mr. Chairperson?
Yes.
Can you briefly go over again how to raise your hand? There's several other people that are participants in the room. I'm not sure if they want to participate, but I know that was discussed at the very beginning of the meeting. Right. But maybe since we opened the public hearing, if you could briefly go over that again.
Okay. Certainly. At the bottom, if you highlight where you're watching the Zoom, you'll see a symbol of raise hand that will highlight your name to be wanting to speak. If you're on phone, you have to do a *9 to get the clerk's attention, then, and she will alert us that you want to speak. And that.
I can also, just to check, I can go through and I can unmute everyone, and if they decide they want to, if you want to let me know if you want to, you can do that too. So
yeah. So it is, these are challenging times. We are trying to get everyone's opinions. We have received input from the citizens through the public, the open houses that were held online. So, you know, we're doing our best to get to that point. Let's see.
I should point out that we also received written comment as well. Kirby, approximately how many written comments have we received so far?
We've received 14, which are probably about 15 to 20 pages of comments.
Okay.
And the comment period does close at close of business tomorrow. So there's still an opportunity if anybody wants to submit a written comment.
Okay, I see that Jennifer David would like to speak.
All right, you should be able to unmute at this point.
Hi, I'm a waterfront property owner in North Kitsap along the Poulsbo Liberty Bay waterfront area. And I just had a quick question for either the DCD planner and or the Department of Ecology planner that we're speaking and presenting this evening. I did have a survey person come by probably in 2009, 2010 to do some evaluation along my waterfront in Liberty Bay to gather information when they were doing evaluation several years ago. And I'm concerned, I guess, about what the findings will mean for me as a property owner. Will there be mandates made for me to do changes to my property and require me to do any changes to my aged property that I've owed? I'm the second owner to this property that's been here for years and years. And I'm just concerned that I'm going to be asked to make thousands of dollars of changes on my property that I can't afford. And I'm going to be asked to do it in a short period of time. What will be the results for a typical property owner along the waterfront in Kitsap County with the findings of this new result?
Okay. Do we have somebody from either the county or the state that would like to reply to that?
I guess it depends on what the evaluation was. What was the evaluation for, did you say?
Well, the gentleman that had done evaluation was checking on things like proximity and age of your stormwater drains, of gray water tanks, things like that, and then playing proximity to the waterfront. And while mine are older, they are justifiably the required distance from the area. And I did have them evaluated and they were fine in their condition from a local evaluator. And I did have all of my pipes replaced because they were originally terracotta. And so we had all of the pipes replaced and we had them evaluated. And so they're fine now, but I'm concerned about like the stormwater drains because several of my neighbors have stormwater drains that are made out of accordion pipe that they've installed. And I'm trying to figure out what does that mean for my surrounding neighbors? Will they be asked to change their accordion pipe drainage material that goes into Liberty Bay? Things like that.
So this is a very site-specific question, which is honestly difficult to answer completely without kind of knowing what is going on the property. But generally speaking, unless there is development activity on the property, we don't require any post-development retrofits after the fact.
Okay, that's good. That's a little bit more of a relief after hearing the first person speak and hearing about all the new development and changes. I wasn't sure if somebody that's been an owner for 20 plus years is going to be asked to change or update other things on the property. I was just curious. Thank you very much for letting me speak. I appreciate it. And thank you for sharing all of your new findings.
You're welcome.
All right. Do we have any other participants?
I'm not seeing any other hands go up.
Okay. That would be that. Did I just do that? Okay, that will bring us to the close of public comments right now. I'm glad that, well, we got all that done. Are there any questions from the commission at this point?
Chairman Phillips, if I may, just a point of clarification. Are we closing the verbal public hearing portion of it with concluding written testimony allowed at 5 p.m. tomorrow, which is March 3rd? Just want to clarify for the record as well as those listening in.
Correct. Okay. Yes. The verbal will be closed and then the written will stay open until tomorrow at 5 p.m. And at that point, that will be, all those comments will be taken into consideration, and then we will have a discussion on that at our next meeting. Commissioner Lyson.
When could we expect staff to gather all the public comments and present that to us, i.e., in other words, so we don't get it the Friday before our deliberation meeting the following Tuesday?
Kirby, do you want to describe our process for that?
Yes, we are currently working really hard to compile all comments and provide responses and deliver those to the Planning Commission members before the March 16th meeting. We are obligated, or we are required under our contract with Ecology we have 30 days to respond, 30 days from the close of the comment period to respond to all public comments. And provide those to Ecology. However, with a quick turnaround and the short timeline between this meeting and the next meeting, and between the close of the comment period and the next meeting, We will try our best to provide those comments and responses to the Planning Commission 1 week prior to that. But that means it needs to be available next week, Tuesday, which is a really big challenge and lift for the team, but we will try our best.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Murphy.
Yeah, sorry, not to discount, but just to clarify for with Kirby, currently you have 14 comments, is that correct?
Yes. 14 okay. Individual comment, individual people providing comments. Many of those are extensive lists of several pages of comments provided by individuals.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We have not tabulated the total number of comments yet, but it is well beyond 14.
Okay. Commissioner Eliason.
Sorry, one more clarification. So can we, in light of the 30 days that you have to prepare what you're going to forward to Department of Ecology, and not to burden you, but as I mentioned in a previous meeting, I appreciate the staff's comments and the matrix we typically get. Is it possible we could still get that, particularly relating to the 14 comments? I've already reviewed most of those, and a lot of them were very helpful. I'll give a good example, like Betsy Cooper had a very detailed response, and it was line by line recommended changes. But it would be helpful to me if I had staff's response to some of those.
Yes, we are working as hard as we can to develop those responses for that. And so, yes, you will get the same kind of matrix that you're used to seeing with the department responses. But it takes time, you know, and so we have to, you know, go through each individual comment and determine what the department's response is and forward that to you. So know that we're doing our best to try to get it to you in as timely a manner as we can.
Okay. Commissioner Smith.
Yeah, so in regards to the public comment period, I just wanna make sure I've got it straight. So this has been open for public comment for approximately 30 days. You've sent emails out to individuals who have signed up through the Gov delivery to get notices. I got one on my personal email, so encouraging me to read the plan, the program, the documents, and submit comments, giving me an opportunity to participate today with a link, to call in today if I didn't have internet, as well as to provide my comments to through an email or even snail mail, you could put comments through that process. So I just want to highlight there's been multiple opportunities to provide feedback and comment. Today is the public hearing. It's one of many strategies being used. And I appreciate the opportunity and the outreach you've done to our community the past 30 days to try to engage them. These are challenging times. And I think being very creative, being open to lots of different ways for individuals to provide comment has been very helpful. And I appreciate all the extra work that staff have gone through to make it possible this year. So thank you.
Thank you for that comment, Commissioner Smith. Do we have any more comments from the commission at this point? Okay, so as of now, the public, verbal comment period is closed. You can still submit comments to the department via email or mail by close of business tomorrow. That concludes the joint hearing. Maria Sanderko, thank you for your participation in this. And we are now at the, for the good of the order or commissioner comments on whatever the commissioners feel needs to be brought up. Do we have anybody that wants to join today? Commissioner Eliason.
I want to find out from staff, are we still planning to tackle or begin vacation rentals in the last quarter of this year?
Uh,
I can respond to that, Commissioner Eliason, as I try to figure out how to unmute myself. To my knowledge, I have not heard any deviation to the tentative schedule for this year on vacation rentals. I know Eric Baker, who is the lead for the County Commissioner's Office on that element, is bogged down significantly. Now that COVID-related grant opportunities and contracting has slid off his plate, there is definitely other real estate matters to attend to, as well as other tasks that he's being asked by the commissioners at this time. So I have not heard any changes to that tentative schedule at this point in time.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other comments or concerns at this point? Going once, going twice. Okay. That brings us to the close. Do I hear a motion to close this meeting? To adjourn the meeting, sorry.
To adjourn this evening?
Commissioner Murphy? And second?
Second.
Commissioner Smith. Okay, all those in favor say aye and raise your hands. Aye. Okay, this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you for participating tonight.
Thank you, everyone.
Yours.
Yes, thank you. Have a good evening.